The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 385. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVDcast. We are all busy people out there in the world, and time flies. It goes so quick. And I can attest while doing this podcast that I lose track of time. I'll think that a particular guest was on like a year ago, and then I'll go back in the archives and see that it's been 2 or 3 years, and it blows my mind. Well, this episode kind of has that theme, because my guest who's joining me is Mike Dels. Mike is a host of a great podcast called the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast. He is also a referee, a ring announcer, a play-by-play guy in the independent wrestling scene in Maryland. He also is an actor. He's done lots of musicals, and we talk about all these things. But where I was going with this introduction was that Mike first spoke to me on episode number 287, which was almost 2 years ago to the day. And that makes me just go, wow, I can't believe it. And, you know, we talk about that at the beginning of our conversation as well, about how everybody gets busy doing this, doing that. And, you know, time moves on, man. Father time waits on no one. So we're going to get into our conversation talking, as I mentioned, about all the things Mike has going on. But before we get into that conversation, I need to thank my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they are a 5-star comic book store. They got everything you need for your fandom. They have graphic novels, single issues, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a friendly staff, a clean store, a great pull system. Man, you name it, they got it. So as you've heard, you know where their physical location is. So if you're in Central Ohio, stop by the store, please. But if you're somebody listening outside the state of Ohio, or outside Central Ohio, I should say, you could still follow the store online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're very active on their Facebook page, so just check them out over at WG Comics. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Mike Dels. All right, ladies and gentlemen, making his return to the PVDcast is a man that I spoke to almost a calendar year ago. I actually made that 2 calendar years ago. It was 2021. A man that has been a singer, an actor, a referee, a ring announcer. He's done all kinds of things. I don't want to call him a jack of all trade because that would, I think, would be insulting. But nonetheless, Mr. Mike Dels. Mike, how you doing, man?
Good, John. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Did I hit everything? I think I forgot podcaster, didn't I?
I am a podcaster. Yeah, I've been doing that for about 7 years. But I mean, that no, you got a list, and that's good to hear those things, you know, because sometimes it's hard to put in perspective just how busy somebody can get. And I like the fact that I have those all those tools in my bag. And you want to call me a jack of all trades? I'm a jack of many trades, not all of them, but many of them. Yeah, and I like to do all of that, and in my spare time, if there there is any. I love, you know, well, you said singer, you know, yeah, but I, instead of professionally doing it, I do it for fun and DJing and karaoke DJing and playing poker and all these other things and going out to sporting events. By the way, love the Baltimore Orioles because that's where I'm from. And they're one of the best teams in baseball right now, which I haven't been able to say for my entire life, pretty much. So, yeah, I love life, man. I just live in my best life. So I appreciate that intro.
So the Orioles are doing well. I haven't kept tabs on baseball this year. I'm still kind of getting into it. I actually will just be honest. I'm a very casual fan when it comes to baseball. But if you gave me the choice between watching a game on TV or going to the ballpark, I'm going to the ballpark every single time.
100% of the time. Yeah, I can watch it on TV, but it's kind of like background noise. I just check in and out. But at the game, you know, there's so many sights and sounds and smells and feels, and it hits all the buttons, and it's great. And so, if you can ever get out to a ball game, especially the Orioles this year, there's a lot of fun things happening, including them winning. But I totally feel you, John. That's 100% right.
Yeah, I mean, that's always how I've been. Now, you give me any other sport, I'm cool to watch it on the couch and whatnot. But just for me, there's something about being at the ballpark that just makes it a full sensory type of experience, as you said.
Yeah. And a nice segue that I can help us go into, because pro wrestling's kind of like that too, John. You know, and I know we've talked about that before, and we will, but it's the same thing. You can watch wrestling on television; they do a good job with the production value, most of them. But it's nothing like being in an arena, whether it's a small independent arena where you got 50 to 100 people, or you know, hundreds of people, or if you're going to WrestleMania with 80 to 100,000 people. Anywhere in between, you get those vibes, man. You get those feels and those chills, and it's just totally worth it.
Well, let's talk about your podcast, the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast. Let's start off real quickly with, how did you get started with this project?
My friend Eric and myself were working for a couple years together, and we'd always talk wrestling, and we'd always talk wrestling as if we were commentating on it, or you know, doing a podcast or a radio show, because that's just our personalities. And then one day we were just like, you know what, we should record this and let somebody else listen to it and see what happens. And so we, you know, checked out how to go through that process. And then we decided, okay, this is what we're going to do. We picked out a time and a place and a tiny little Zoom recorder with the two little microphones on the end of it that's powered by AA batteries. That's how we started. And then, you know, we just talked and we threw it up there, and people started listening to it and was like, wow, other people are listening to us, you know, BS about wrestling pretty much. So we got into a groove and we found out things that we liked. We found out things that other people like. And 7 years later, we're still doing it. We're into, you know, 120 episodes, and it's the reach is phenomenal. And I'll throw a brag out here about that. You may or may not know about this, but Blogsport, it's a feed on the internet that they rate WWE podcasts, and they've been doing it for quite a while, and apparently we've been in their top 30 for a couple of years, and we didn't even know it, because we were just too concerned about getting it out there, not how we were doing. But they reached out to us like, man, you're in the top 10 now, you're number 8, and I'm like, are you serious? And, you know, Corey Graves' podcast is in there. Kurt Angle's podcast is in there. Like, there's reputable podcasts in there, and we're right up there with them, and there's nothing else to say but thank you. You know, there's mm-hmm. people sharing what we're doing and sharing it with others, friends of friends, and it's getting all over. And so these two guys that were just talking wrestling while we were working, and it's now turned into this. And, you know, we're not right, we're not wrong, we're just fans. That's what we say, that's what we do. And people like that. You know, we're not prostituting pro wrestling, if you want to call it that way. We're just, you know, to the casual fans, you want to talk about pro wrestling, you want to listen about talking about pro wrestling. That's what it is. And yeah, it's great, man.
A typical episode, would it be where you just pick the news of the week and talk about it, reviewing pay-per-views, a little bit of everything thrown together? What would be a typical episode of somebody?
Yeah. We just kind of, you know, depending on where we left off at our last episode, like for instance, we'll kind of hit the review of whatever most recently happened in the pro wrestling world, and then we go off on tangents. You know, we just throw in pieces of news like, well, this person's getting in the Hall of Fame, or this person passed away, unfortunately, or, you know, the WWE got sold by Vince McMahon. You know, things pop up, and we just take lists as we're, you know, in between episodes. So the first, we usually do three segments. The first segment is usually a review and tangents. The second segment, more often than not, is an interview. And that's either people that we seek out or seek out to us and that we want to help cross promote and push whatever they're doing. And it's coming from all over, which is fantastic. And then the third segment is kind of wrapping everything up. What's previewing on the horizon? What's coming up next and what to look for in the next episode? Plus, you know, we do kind of quick fire things, Mount Rushmore of wrestling, you know, who should be in the Hall of Fame and from what, you know, things like that, you know, quick fire stuff. And it lasts, you know, roughly 90 minutes to 2 hours at the most. We keep it around 90, but we keep it segmented so you don't have to feel like you can go back and listen to the whole thing. It's not like it's, but you can go back and listen to segments, or you can skip over segments, or however you want to do it. That's a typical episode.
Okay. So let's talk about your partner. All right.
Partner.
Yeah.
The big ugly.
The big ugly. So
the fit ugly now, because this man is getting in shape. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's got gone on it. And, you know, he was always, you know, bigger stature guy, but he always did, you know, ugly just didn't seem more. Big ugly made it sound a little bit more, because it's kind of got a negative connotation, but it's not. But now we call him the fit ugly. And, you know, I guess calling him that now is kind of keeping him on the straight and narrow. And me, I'm Dirty Mike, but I might be unfit Mike, you know, as it comes. I just went on a cruise. There's a lot of food on that. It's the summertime, but no. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No.
Eric, you know what? He's the partner.
I was going to ask, how has been the partnership? I mean, you guys obviously were friends beforehand and you seem to probably have very good chemistry. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about Big Ugly, or excuse me, Fit Ugly.
Fit Ugly. Yeah. Eric Murphy, man. I'll tell you, it's just something that just clicks, and it's something we can pick up from at any point in time, no matter how much time passes. And, you know, the podcast has kept us going every couple of weeks or every month or whatever you want to talk about. But it's very hard to find people that are more than acquaintances, especially as fast as the world and life moves these days. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find that. And if you can find any genuine people in your life to connect with and hang on to for whatever, through whatever channel, do it, because that's what Eric and I have. And I tell you, it's an understanding partnership. It's a fantastic chemistry, and even on the shows, you know, you can tell it's a chemistry, and there is a balance. He takes care of the technical side of things, the editing, you know, everything going on that side. I take care of the talent. I take the talent relations, and as far as content goes, and I'm the lead guy. He's the play-by-play guy, if you want to call it that. And then we've got a couple of other people on the show. My friend Chad, CM Funk, as we call him, as he calls himself. I've known him for 15, 20 years, and I was working with him too. And we've found connections through other ways, but that pro wrestling connection, man. And you know it, as far as independent pro wrestling, you can go in, you can go out. It changes every single time. Some people you make connections with, and some people stick around for a little while. But I mean, I've known Chad for 15, 20 years as well. It's fantastic. And Jason Tucker, otherwise known as JT Wrestling, he's another one that's on there a lot. Again, known for 20 years through different channels, and it always seems to pull us back together. But Eric is a great guy. If you ever need any video work or audio work or picture work or anything like that, I got to reach out to him through the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast, because he knows what he's doing.
What's the most challenging part of producing an episode?
I'd say time.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. You know, me doing the scheduling and the talent relations and things like that, it's just kind of, okay, I'm going to check with Eric first, and let's lay out some dates to where we can actually produce the show, and let's get a window of first choice, second choice, third choice. Then we go out to whoever's going to be on the podcast, whether it's co-hosts or guest special guests or talent or whatever you want to call it. Then we got to work them into it and say, okay, here are the days. Let's get the times in there. Let's break it all down. And then you got to have backups, because obviously life happens. And then you got to, just like independent wrestling, you got to change on the fly, man. You got to call it in the ring. So that happens. And then you go through the regular stuff, you know, internet connections and weather and whatever the fact. Zoom has been wonderful because it makes it that much more manageable. Before the pandemic, we used to do all this and actually schedule a physical place and time to everybody to meet up. That was even more challenging, but I respect Zoom a heck of a lot more now because we do the live shows, but the live shows are basically during the big four: WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, mm-hmm. Royal Rumble. And then we film live watching during the pre-show. We get our pre-show stuff out of the way. And then while we're watching the actual event or the main events of the actual event, then we're talking with it. Cause you can go watch WWE, Peacock, whatever. You can listen to commentary, but it's interesting to have our take on it too. And then going back and listening to our stuff over top, you know, it's, so that's what we do live. So those are the ones that are set in stone. Whenever they have WrestleMania, we know one of those nights we're good. And having WrestleMania in two nights has been nice too, because then we can pick and choose a night. But yeah, mm-hmm. I got to say it's timing and scheduling, man, but it's challenging, but I dig it. I'm a planner. I'm an organizer. I like that stuff. Even talking to you, reaching out to you in the past couple of weeks to get this settled. And, you know, you're checking with me. I'm checking with you. We're batting it down to the week, then to the day. It's like, yeah, we're busy. We're going to catch up. Here's the day. And then today is like, here's the time. Here's the length. Yes. Perfect. That's it. We got it.
You know, you're funny. You mentioned that before. I was in the room, in the dial pad meeting room, a few minutes early, and I have an old school calendar. I don't use, because I never check my phone's calendar. I'm old, and I'm into that old school. Like I have it right here. Yeah, right here. And I was jotting things down on the calendar because I too like to plan things and have a plan B. And you have the whiteboard. Okay.
I got the whiteboard because I change it so much. And I can just go and just wipe things out with my finger or the eraser, and then I can just go and just cross it out and change it every time. Because I have calendars, and then what happens with the calendar, the old school calendar, I just fill it up and start scratching, and I destroy it. Unless you have one of those really big, like, desk calendars, which I have had that before, too. But, yeah, I feel you, bro. I feel you on the calendars. We're old school. We're seasoned. That's what it is.
Right.
We're experienced.
We're veterans.
I got this thing, but it ain't for calendars. I will put notes on there though. I will use the notepad like no tomorrow. Like if something's out and about something comes up for me for the podcast or in life, I'll just make a note for myself because there's no chance I'll remember that 5 minutes from now. Like something else is going to happen. So
yeah, I use notes quite frequently too. I use it more for like rough drafting texts.
Oh, that's
like
good
if
idea.
It's an important text to somebody, like a guest that I'm sending out, I want to make sure it's clear and it's precise and it's not, you know, full of grammar.
Hey, yo, you
want to
join up? Yeah.
Yeah. So I that's what I use it for. But yeah, calendar, not so much. But
yes, sir.
What would be a favorite episode or episodes that you guys have had of the Dirty Ugly podcast?
I got to go back, you know, obviously going back and listening to the old school classics, like the first and second one. Like the first one we did with that little Zoom recorder that I was telling you about was shortly after I came back from WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, because I went there as a trip for myself. And then, you know, that's what I did. And then a lot of that episode was talking about that. But we were so green. We were so rough. But it was trying to figure out timing and pacing and everything like that. But I like that one just for that reason, just to go back and listen to it. Then we've had, we had our 100th episode, which was great. We invited everybody that we could to join in, and we just sent out the Zoom link to everybody. It was a big cluster. And I tell you, you know, it was during November, December of 2020. So it was around the holiday time, but it was still during, you know, COVID time as well. So, but a lot of people showed up and just dropped in, and it was big cluster, and we loved it too. And I'll pick one more. My days with EWA Pro Wrestling, which I'm still affiliated with, they had big storylines going in like 2016, 2017, something called the Supremacy, where it was a big faction, where it was very Nexus-like, very Bloodline-like. And then we had all of them on as a faction, and then just listening to the, and we had them in character, you know, so we weren't trying to break kayfabe or anything like that. And everybody, you could hear like the in trying to break in and out of character, mm-hmm. and you could hear storylines developing on the podcast. And then the next time we went and cut promos for EWA or went and actually got in the ring, something stemmed from that. And I'm like, oh, dude, this is great. I mean, just to have an impact on something like that, you know, before and after, just, yeah. But every one of them is special in their own way. But mm-hmm. those are three I can pick right off the top of the pile.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit. You mentioned EWA, and you've worked around the indies in the Baltimore area, the Maryland area, and you've done it all. You've been a commentator, a ring announcer, a referee. Mm-hmm. Talk to the folks as to how you got involved in this wild business of pro wrestling.
Here's a good story. So I loved pro wrestling for all my life. Aunt and uncle got me into it when I was kid, and so watching it on VHS tapes, watching it on USA Network, you know, wherever I could, or watching it, you know, the Saturday morning show on free TV, or even WTBS when it was back, you know, watching NWA, WCW, all that. I've always wanted to get on the other side, but I never knew how to do it because I never thought I was that guy. I was never the athlete in high school, you know. I always did different things. I don't encourage this path for everybody because I hope people have that happily ever after. But basically, it was a project of my divorce because I was highly involved in theater and performing and musical theater and singing and all kinds of stuff for a while. And then divorce happened and I needed to change my direction a little bit. So back in near even where my parents live, where EWA Pro Wrestling, where the training school facility is, I just walked in one day, introduced myself, and just said, "How do I get in?" You know, but it was kind of a project of my divorce. It was so my mind does not go crazy with all the divorce stuff, but also that I can do something that I enjoy and I can learn something new and I can, you know, take that. So, you know, you go. I was at that school as well, the Pain Factory there in EWA Pro Wrestling. But I learned from a lot of different trainers, a lot of different promotions. Worked my way up. I learned the entire intricate workings. I did all the physical training, even though they real early on, it's like I'm not going to be. But no, they were like, "We need a referee. Okay, we need a solid like senior referee like that's going to get in there and be the referee, you know, and you know, we can train other referees underneath and we can figure that out." But that's where I started, and then they realized that I had a big mouth. Actually, they probably realized that during training too. You know, they were like, "Yeah, well, we're going to give a couple times the ring announcer." It just kind of, you know, at the last minute things changed, didn't happen, not coming. "Hey man, I got a suit. I live 5 minutes away. Let me go get a suit. Let me get dress clothes," because they always say bring your gear, but I never had a suit in my car. I always had like referee gear in my car, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But now as a ring announcer, I always carry like a dress clothes in my car as well. So that's true. But then that's how I got into ring announcing. And then, you know, as you do things, and especially with independent pro wrestling, you got people coming in from all over, working from all over. They're like, "Hey, I like this guy. I'm going to tell my promoter about this." And then you get people reaching out to you. And that's how one promotion became two, became 10. And then I had to whittle it down. I still affiliated with a lot of these promotions, but loosely, not completely directly, because in the beginning, I wanted to be that guy that I was like, "Okay, I want to be at every single show. I want to put in my work. I want to, you know, be on your roster. I want to do this. I want to make my way up." And you make a little money, you make some friends, but then you realize, man, I'm going to burn myself out. That's how I got into it. But that's you got to find the right school. You got to find the right teachers. And you say it's, you know, people, you know, I mean, but you got to introduce yourself to people to know people. So put yourself out there, man. And then you'll find it. Now, 10 years later, I'm still doing it. I'm still podcasting. You know, that's something else that came along in the middle of this whole thing. And I'm still a fan. That's the most important thing. I have not lost my love for the business. If it became, I'm realistic. I'm in my middle life crisis, if you want to call it that. So there's no way the WWE or any like reputable organization is going to reach out to a guy of my experience, if you want to call it that, and try to, you know, put me through the, and even 35 when I started this, same thing. You know, they're looking for the 20 somethings, you know, the fresh out of school, fresh out of college, people that they can build and groom on their own. And then by the time you reach 28 or 30, you know, indies might be your best shot because they're not investing in people to go that far at that point in time, because this is a business that you got to keep refreshing over and over and over again. But that's why I love the indies, because it doesn't matter what age you are, and it doesn't matter what size you are, it doesn't matter what, you can always make a contribution. So that's what, maybe that was a long-winded answer, maybe no, too much, maybe I haven't told that story in a while, but yeah, that's a Don't get divorced. Don't get married. No, I'm playing. Just go through positive channels. Go through positive channels.
As a referee, what's the worst bump you had to take?
Ooh. Okay.
I know every ref has to at least have one story where they took a bump.
I'm that guy that I know I can't do like the full match, and I'm not going to be that. I mean, I have done a full match, you know, the whole referee storyline where the referee is getting abused by the wrestler and the referee fights back and the other referees band behind him. I did that once. I had one match and I won. So I'm undefeated, but that wasn't like a full match. That was a whole, like a lot of story, a lot of facials, you know, a lot of run, you know, cat and mouse. And that's not even the best, worst bump. So the worst bump I ever took, my first year in the business, I'm still learning out new organizations, whatever. And I go to this one organization where it's the first time I'm working. I end up being the only ref. So I'm Iron Man all night long. That's what I'm doing. Six, seven matches. It wasn't necessarily a bump, but it was just the wind. I mean, I did all the cardio and the training, but I'm still not in that kind of shape. So by the end, I was gassed, and it was a six-person main event where luckily there wasn't a lot of, except for me counting the pinfall or watching the tap or whatever it was. But somebody in the match knew I was green. I don't know if this is my initiation or whatever it is. Kind of whispered to me, said, "You ever taken a Singapore cane?" He's behind me. "You ever taken a Singapore cane?" And I'm like, my initial thing is with the wrestling business just to say, "Yes, sure, I'll do it. Go ahead, whatever." I said, "Yeah." So he spun me around and right smack in the face, you know, right here where it's supposed to, at the top of the head, you know, didn't bust out my eye, didn't do anything like that. I took it. I bumped on the concrete floor because I'm used to taking flatbacks, so that's what I did. So the Singapore cane wasn't even the problem. It was flatbacking on the hard floor that didn't have a mat. And I kind of knocked myself silly for a little bit. Then I had to get back up and finish the match. So, but afterwards, what was great about that, the guy who hit me actually came over. He's a wrestler. I think he was partially promoting, and I didn't know that either. He was one of the promoters of the organization or one of the bookers. He came over, shook my hand, and he said, "Thank you." And I said, "Hey, man, no problem." As I'm trying not to sell my back. But that's probably the worst one. But then I learned something from that. You know, always be ready for anything, especially as a referee. And the referee is the unsung hero because, you know, you got two guys that can talk over their match for an hour or whatever, however long you do it. And then you want the referee to kind of be there to kind of get little things, you know, so we can remember spots and things like that. So if somebody gets lost, you can communicate with other people, learning how to do that and learning how to, you know, timing wherever you're trying to get it from, either a clock or a ring announcer or something like that, trying to figure out when to go home and, you know, when to, the crowd is like dead, warm them up, you know, sell, do something. And as I got along and got respect, you know, respect both ways given, then I felt that kind of stuff where they, you know, they're so concentrated on what they're doing, they might not know that. So I feel bad. That was a bad bump. I did flat back though. I didn't do it wrong. I didn't put my elbows down. I didn't pull up at the last second. I really took the flat back. So even I'm feeling it now, just talking about that on the.
And you know what? I'm just gonna say one thing from your story.
You can say whatever you want. This is your show.
Promoters have two refs. I've been on many shows where you have one ref, and that's not fair to that individual. I'm gonna say it because they work their asses off.
Yeah.
And they got to do seven or eight matches in a row. That's horrible. I mean, minus maybe an intermission, but still, there's one thing that you need to have promoters, two refs. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm going to be quiet on that one.
I think that one and some of the other ones, I don't think I was scheduled to be the only referee, especially being a rookie. I think they had another referee to come on and either guide me through or at least balance it out. And I've Ironmanned, you know, a couple of things. And some of them are smaller shows, like four or five matches, you know, like festival shows or something like that. But I've done it before. I've even done it where I've refereed the whole night and ring announced the whole night. Now, that's not visually impressive, but sometimes you get stuck. But that's okay. I don't mind that. Because I was doing all the ring announce from the outside of the ring. And then I get in the ring to do the refereeing. I paid my dues is what I'm – but I agree. If you need to book – if you want at least two refs on your show, you got to book at least three. Because – and one of them, you got to know, one of them is not going to, you know, be doing a lot of stuff. One of them could be an outside enforcer. One of them can end up being, you know, doing backstage work or something like that.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's something that you should, as a promoter, make sure that you absolutely have on the roster before you start booking any other talent. You should make sure you have those folks in place. So let's talk about it. You're a big fan. Who were or are some of your favorite wrestlers?
Back when I started, when I was younger, Ultimate Warrior jumped out of the screen at me, man. The face paint, the tassels, the bold colors, the running to the ring, the quick matches, you know, all that stuff jumped out. And of course, I was a Hulkamaniac as well. So WrestleMania 6 came around and they fought each other. I was torn, but I loved it. It was fantastic. But then going along the years, I started developing appreciation for some of those other, you know, early Mick Foley, like early 90s, mid 90s, hardcore Cactus Jack Mick Foley, being the guy that wasn't physically fit, but who could get in there and entertain. And a lot of it was by using his body, but still he found his niche. So I really respected that. And of course, through the years, I enjoyed, you know, seeing the young big kid Brock Lesnar come in and do that whole next big thing. And now 20 years later, he's got his own ticket. Like, I mean, it's beautiful stuff. And then Stone Cold, I always enjoyed the, you know, the authority and that kind of battle right there, you know, against your boss. That was always fun. So most of those guys have been my favorites over the year. And then I start developing things like, oh, I like this guy's theme music, or I like this guy's entrance or his video. I start looking at the production, especially being on the other side of the guardrail. I'm like, this is why I like this person. I don't necessarily like this person or this wrestler. I respect them all, but I like them more for different reasons. But those jump out at me.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Mike for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. Basically, whatever you need, they got you covered. So you should check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, or you can check them out on Facebook. At WG Comics is their Facebook page. And if you're in Central Ohio, you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. It's been mentioned many times on the PBD cast that I have yet another project in the works. That project is the Larry Hankin Stories, a Patreon page that contains tons of cool content about everyone's favorite actor, Larry Hankin. Larry just released his autobiography, That Guy, and is offering a huge deal for his fans. You can get a 25% discount if you buy the book through Bear Manor Media. Just plug in the code THATCODE4, THATCODE, the number 4, and you can get 25% off your purchase of the book. Just go to bearmanor-digital.myshopify.com to access their catalog of great books. Put in that code and you will get 25% off. But hurry, because this offer only lasts until midnight on July 4th, 2023. And also, don't forget to check out the Patreon page. It's over at patreon.com/LarryHankin. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, your acting career, because you've been very heavily involved in the acting community in Maryland. And I assume it's probably safe to say that as a kid, and maybe even going through high school, you were just enamored with the idea of acting?
I enjoyed the performance aspect of it, but I would always do it, you know, just with myself, like in my own room with my headphones on, or, you know, just kind of, I was always kind of like that shy kid or teenager that didn't want to stand in front of a class and give a speech.
Okay.
Things like that. Yeah, you wouldn't believe it to know me now. But when I figured out that I can do it, you know, if I don't have to get up there and give a speech that I performed for a grade or something like that, it was actually one of those teachers that said, well, hey, I'm in the drama department and we run the, you know, musical theater. And I'm like, initially I'm like, that's not me, I can't, you know, no way, I mean, whatever. But no, you know what, we'll put you in the ensemble, you know, you have a, you know, a lot of people around you, you can blend in and, you know, you just fill in with sights and sounds and things like that. And I'm like, all right, I gave that a shot. So, you know, they did that and they watched me during rehearsals and they were like, this guy's got a little bit of personality. Let's give him some little featured things to do. And this was my first musical play ever, like theater, back in 94. And they were like, okay, well, you're gonna have this torch and it's going to be lit. And then you're going to jump out on stage and, you know, that's going to be the way that we open the show. I'm like, you're going to give me fire on a wooden stage when I've never done this before in my life. You're going to give me a fire spot. I mean, but anyway, yeah, I was nervous. And actually, the first time I did that with the live fire, I actually brought my knee up a little too high and kicked and kneed the bottom of the torch, and the flame or whatever was in there kind of sprayed out over the stage. Didn't hurt anybody, didn't hit anybody, but it, you know, live theater, live pro wrestling, anything can happen, whatever thing. So from then, I just kind of stayed in the ensemble for a while and just realized, hey, I enjoy this. This is fun. There's a fun group of people. There's cast parties. You know, it's just kind of bonding experience, things like that. And then they started saying, well, you got a voice. You need to start like actually auditioning for major roles, like bigger roles, like take on more responsibility. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. So, but again, the influencer said, you know, we'll give it a shot. We'll try something. It's kind of a smaller featured role. And, you know, you'll have a little bit to sing on your own, but don't worry. You'll still blend into the background and everything. Like, okay. I think they were bullshitting me the whole time. Pardon my language, but I went and auditioned for something and they'd like, okay, you're this major role that's going to be on the stage and have like a romantic interlude with somebody. And you're also going to sing solos on your own. I'm like, are you kidding me? But I found out that when you do it as a performance, you bring out a piece of yourself that turns up to 11 or whatever it is, but you're acting. So I never thought of it as me up there. I always thought of it as the character I was portraying. Same thing in pro wrestling. Now I get jazzed at the fact of whatever character I'm playing, whether it's a ring announcer or a referee or musical theater or DJ, I get jazzed at the fact that I get to go out and play this character. So I get that nervous excitement every single time, which means I'm still enjoying it. But that's kind of how I got into it, and I'm still doing all that stuff to this day.
So, well, let's talk about some of those productions that you've done. Do you have a favorite one that you've done? Because I know you've been the Little Mermaid.
I wasn't the Little Mermaid. I was the prince.
Right. No,
I know. I've been in the Little Mermaid. I'm just messing with you. No, but that was fun, though, because I was 44 years old at the time, and I was playing an 18-year-old kid. So that's the beauty of theater right there. But you were asking, like, do I have a favorite show or favorite roles that I've done? You know, let me take a look. I have what, remember these VHS tapes? I still have a lot of these back from when I was doing theater. So I have a collection, and I do have a VCR. For people who don't know what that is, go Google it, because it's a wonderful machine.
And you know what, Mike, I'm going to jump in there for a minute. And many of you that are Googling, you youngins out there that are Googling a VCR, you're going to see they're pretty expensive. They used to not be.
There's not many of them around anymore. And if there are, they're not many of them that work or work well. So if you can find one, that's a diamond in the rough. That's great stuff. But I'd say some of the most favorite things that I've done. There's a musical actually called Seussical. It's a musical based around the Cat in the Hat and the Land of Dr. Seuss. And I was actually the Cat in the Hat. And I didn't know anything about it before it came about, but the people that ran the production knew who I was, and I've worked with them before, and they were like, you'd be perfect for this. So basically you dress up in the Cat in the Hat thing, and you put on the makeup, you put on the hat, and you're goofy. Like, you're involved in the whole show. You're the narrator. You're the one running through the whole show playing different characters, goofy. And I'm like, yeah, that's totally me. And it's a singing acting role. So, I mean, that was one of my favorites. And, I've also played every role you can think of in The Wizard of Oz, including Dorothy. That was an understudy part. I was helping out, you know, during the production week. I didn't actually put on the dress, but I went through all the blocking, sang the song. So it's good. So, I mean, so, you know, and there's other shows you've done a lot of times. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Godspell, Footloose, a lot of these that are around. But I think Seussical probably is one of my favorites. As far as remembering, I've done Bye Bye Birdie as well. That's another classic musical a lot. And there's a Conrad Birdie, the title character, the Elvis character in there, and anything Elvis, I'm just all over that. I'll do that any day of the week. So that was pretty cool too.
One that I want to see, and I just saw that it's coming to Columbus, is Come From Away.
Oh yeah.
I really want to see that. My girlfriend saw the Broadway production when she went to a week trip to New York City. And she was telling me about it. I go, that sounds amazing. Like, to take a historical event and to make a musical out of it. And I mean, like, a more modern. I know Hamilton is that, but I'm just saying, like, taking something that was so impactful to 9/11 constructing a musical out of that. I'm down. We just saw the other day, because we went to go see To Kill a Mockingbird live. And they had a little advertisement in the back of the playbill about what's coming up. And I'm like, honey, Come From Away is coming in February. She's like, we'll get tickets as soon as they go on sale. I'm like, yeah, I want to go.
Yeah. That's a beautiful show. Theater, especially that world, is always coming up with new stories. You know, when I was doing most of my theater, it was all kind of the stories that have been built up for a long time, you know. But yeah, that's a good one. That's a real good story. Hamilton, you mentioned as well, is another really good story. And we love going to see shows as well. Neil Diamond actually just put out a musical of his entire life and career called A Beautiful Noise. And that's going to go on the road next year. We saw it in New York, and because he can't do his thing anymore, you know, he can't perform anymore. So his outlet was to help create this vision on Broadway that can happen 8 times a week and send it around and travel. That's wonderful as well. That, you know, the Tony Awards are actually last night on television. So I'm watching this, and there's a lot of new shows that I wasn't a privy to. But there's, you know, things. Phantom of the Opera just closed after 35 years on Broadway. Yeah. So obviously it was doing something right. The fact that it just gives you chills. If it's done right, it hits the feels. It hits those points. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing, man. Musical theater is great. I love the music aspect, but regular theater without the music, you know, doing the plays as well. That's another favorite of mine. Biloxi Blues. I don't know if you're familiar. Neil Simon. Matthew Broderick actually was in a movie that did that a while ago.
I was going to say, I'm familiar with the movie version. I am not familiar with the play version, though I know it's based on a play. I've never seen it.
Very similar. You know, it's about basic training in Biloxi, Mississippi, and it's 110 degrees, and you got to wear those green army fatigues. And it's basically, you know, kids, you know, or young people going through getting drafted and having to go, you know, to go overseas to fight, you know, and in this story, the way it ends up, none of them ever actually go fight, you know, the war ends before they even get there, but it's basically going through the rigors of basic training, but also going through the personal relationships and dealing with your commanding officer. And I played one of the supporting characters in that. And I was still pretty young in my theater career when I did that, but I guess it worked because the character was young and I was like, man, I get to do this and I get to be a part of this. And this is a great story. So it was wonderful.
One other side comment real quick.
Please.
I would love to see, because I love the movie version, I would love to see Glengarry Glen Ross. I mean, I feel everyone should know that movie and should see that movie because it is that damn good.
I agree.
It's awesome.
Google it, stream it, find it. And I believe there is a stage version.
I think there is. I think they I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure the movie first and then David Mamet did the play.
I think you're right.
That's the order.
So I've never seen it on stage, but I would love to see that interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, let's start wrapping some things up here, Mike. First of all, a question I kind of skipped over real quick was, when you're talking about your endeavors in the pro wrestling industry, what would be a piece of advice, since I gave my piece of advice to the promoters, what would be a piece of advice you would give somebody that's new to the business that wants to be a referee or ring announcer or a commentator? Like, one piece of advice you would give them?
I say, just, you know, put everything you got into it. 110%. Don't do anything half-assed. If you're not sure who to go to, ask, you know, just do your research, put your whole self into it and go, because you cannot, even if it's a hobby and something you love to do, whether you get paid or you don't, if you half-ass it, people see that and people know that and people remember that. So you could be good, you know, you might not be great at it at first, but as long as you're giving 110%, put your effort in. That's what I say. Definitely put all your effort in.
All right. You got any information on the new episode of the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast that you want to let folks know about?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, the next one that's going to be coming out is going to be in a couple of weeks, and we're going to have another independent wrestler from another independent wrestling organization on there. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag just yet, but basically, we've been hitting a lot of different organizations, you know, people have been coming in to tell their stories and to, you know, put their point of views out there, And, you know, we've also been, especially summertime, so we're hitting a lot of indies these times. But yeah, we got that one coming up, which is new, which is in a couple of weeks here. And then, of course, August 5th is coming, and that's SummerSlam. So we're going to be recording live during SummerSlam, and we're going to be trying some new video equipment out. We can do great on the audio. We're a little short on video these days because the audio is just so much to handle and it's booming. But we're going to try a couple new video tricks and see if we can get ourselves out there, like platforms like TikTok and things like that. But yeah, being the eighth ranked podcast of all WWE podcasts, we got to keep our game strong or get even better. And then, of course, find the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but also SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Podchaser, Player FM, Podbean, Podnews, iVox. I mean, we're everywhere, which is wonderful. And we appreciate everybody checking it out, sharing it. And we want comments. Put your comments on all the socials. Send us direct messages. What do you want to hear? Who do you want to hear from? Who would you like us to go after? You know, what would you like to hear? What subject matter would you like to hear? And even if it's not about pro wrestling, you know, we go into tangents about a lot of different things. We talk about music. We talk about movies. We talk about sports. We talk about streaming, you know, and we also have positive motivational speakers on there. We have athletes, doctors, lawyers, you know, anything you could think of, musicians. We got it all on there. It's not right. It's not wrong. We're just fans of everything.
All right. Let's run down those social medias again. Did you say everything is at Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast? Did I get that correct?
If you search for Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast or DUW Podcast, which is just a shortened version of it, you'll find it. So, and again, that's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then all those other places. And they all kind of stem from SoundCloud, but they're everywhere. But Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast or DUW Podcast, or if you want to find me, Mike Dels or Michael Dels, that's D-E-L-S-S. If you just search that name, search me up, you'll find everything attached to me as well. Or Eric Murphy, otherwise known as the Fit Ugly. You can find him under Cookie Jar Productions. A Cookie Jar Production actually is what it is on all of those social medias. And you can find him as well. Hit him up. Hit me up. It's all good stuff.
Well, Mike, thanks for sitting down and chatting with me. I apologize. It's been 2 years, but man, just how that you talked about time flying. I totally understand it. And again, thanks for spending a little bit of time this evening and chatting with me, man. It's been fun.
Of course. And I'd love to have you on the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast again. We'd love to have you. And before we go, give me 60 seconds. I want to ask you one question.
Sure.
Because you asked me a lot of questions and I'm just curious about this. And it kind of banks on something you said. What is your favorite match of all time that you've ever seen? And I know you're in the indie scene too, so you can pick whatever match and explain why. But I always love this question. I know, and it's putting you on the spot. I know it's hard.
I haven't had to see it live, right? I've seen it on pay-per-view.
Sure. Like that. But yeah, okay. It can be pay-per-view. It can be VHS, what we were talking about.
I'm going to go with Steamboat Savage, WrestleMania 3.
Yeah,
I'm going to stick with that one. Although, one of my other favorites of all time is Bryan Danielson versus Lance Storm from Ring of Honor in Chicago.
Ring of Honor.
Yeah, 2006, I think it is, or 2007.
Yeah, I was going to say mid-2000s.
That was an amazing match, and it's in my top five as well. So, but I'm going to go with Steamboat Savage, WrestleMania 3.
Did you continue to watch that afterwards for Hogan Andre? Did you finish?
I did.
Okay. Did the show kind of go down after that for you?
I'm going to be
honest.
Not
that Hogan Andre wasn't legendary, but once you hit Steamboat Savage, did it kind of plateau right there for you?
I have to be honest with you. I watched the entire, I will watch Savage Steamboat, on YouTube, just the match itself. Watching WrestleMania 3, I know for a fact. I've only seen it once when I was 9 years old, 10 years old. So I honestly can't answer that question. Because I wasn't in that mindset. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's funny. I've gone back and watched matches that I thought were great, and I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. You know what I mean? At the time when I was in high school or you know, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, this is the greatest match ever. And then I watch it, I'm like, you know what? No, it really wasn't very good. So I can't answer that question. Sorry.
Okay.
Because I don't recall.
Well, I think by not answering it, you do what you did answer, because if you can't recall, that means, and that's where a lot of people that would talk about that match, they would say it plateaus right there. And if you can go back now and still watch that match and pick that out of a lineup, I mean, you talk about a perfect professional wrestling match. And from top to bottom, I can't find one problem. Even when they're both gassed and everybody's sweaty, even if timing happens to be a little off, that's part of the story. I don't care if it looks, you know, lanky or strange. It's supposed to. It's yep. professional wrestling. It wasn't polished, but that was a perfect match. So there's, and I think you'll agree with me too, as you wrap this up, I know, but if you want to get an education in professional wrestling, whether it's to be a referee, a ringside, either valet or just a second on ringside, ring announcing, even the inflections that Howard Finkel had, or the two performers that were inside the ring, go watch that match and watch the crowd and listen to 93,000 people just take that roller coaster ride for that 15 or 18 minutes. And it's just amazing.
Search out all the classics. I will say please. That. Yes, to all those folks that are listening, that are thinking about getting in the biz, watch it all, consume it all. Know the difference between what you like, what you don't like, so that therefore you can replicate that when it's your turn to present. So, Mike, again, thank you so very much, man. I appreciate it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Mike Dells, talking about the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast, his time as a referee in indie wrestling, and as a ring announcer, and his time doing musicals, and just, you know, covering all the cool projects and cool things that Mike has going on. So I do appreciate Mike giving a little bit of his time to sit down and chat with me. It's a blast. It's so much fun. And I'm looking forward to appearing on the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast in the future. So, all right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to start wrapping things up. So let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you need to do so. You can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for @PVDcast. And you can even find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear this great podcast. Well, there's a ton of avenues for that. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the easiest place to find each and every episode. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about those podcasting outlets, please make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe. Of course, rating and reviewing moves me up the algorithm, and subscribing means you never miss an episode of this great podcast. But that's not all. There's a couple of other ways that you can hear the PVDcast. First of all, every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I do a Facebook broadcast. So that's a great, easy way to hear each weekly episode. And if you're somebody that loves internet radio, I am proud to say that the PVDcast is available through CROC Croc Radio out of British Columbia. So definitely check it out there as well. Croc Radio is all over the place. I mean, Streama, all those radio outlets carry that great station. So you can check it out there if you like as well. All right, with that being said, then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you very much once again for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.